The first question. So, all start in 2010 when Bono contacts the Dead Prez for a collaboration inside the album Intergalactic Arena and born the song Let's Go Organize. Mm-hmm. M1 often says that once understand that in addition to music there was also a common worldview, was born a collaboration and a friendship that produced three albums and a tour all over the world as a AP2P.
Right.
Now we are in 2016 and 6 years have passed. How the situation has evolved?
Oh, evolved in many ways. You know, well, with Bono, we were able to go and test the music that we made in his studio in Bergamo, all over Italy and in many places in Europe and sometimes in the U.S. This had a great effect on the evolution of AP2P in many ways. One, we wanted more people to know what we were doing because we felt like the music that we were making is and has been important. The collaboration of the sound and what we have the potential to do. So it made us do two things. One, it made us change the way we looked at the music and scientifically, because Bono was able to do anything musically as well as me, we said, let's go and make an intention to affect the U.S. market and talk to the people in the United States who may have missed AP2P, but who needed the message. And we also knew that we were able to make the music exactly in the vibration we wanted to, that could take the U.S. vibration and raise it up, even if slightly, but give it something that's similar enough so they could have the ear, but say something different or in a way that is intriguing. And so that's the first thing that we did. It was, we started to work intensely on the production side of things. Because we can do all kinds of music very well. Everything from EDM, hip hop, house, jungle, drum and bass, you name it. And hip hop, obviously, rock, bossa nova, reggae. We do it all. We can do any kind of music you would like. At the end of the day, we decided let's do what we see happening inside the youth of the United States. Two, we decided to change our name to M1 and Bono because we knew that people know M1 from Dead Prez from our history of revolutionary culture, and they know Bono from his history of revolutionary culture here in Europe. So we wanted to people not to get lost on the fact that we call ourselves AP2P, because in reality, we will return to the name of AP2P, but we want people to know that this thing is happening. So in order to touch the U.S. market, we wanted to make people familiar with the people who were doing it. So that's some of the things that have happened since we made the first album, All Power to the People. And now we've released our new album, which is called Between Me and the World.
Okay, Between Me and the World is your new work. It's included collaboration with Prodigy, Jaden Blackmore, Akhtar Grinik, and Divine RBG. What are the uses narrated and what influence you had in the work?
I mean, me and Bono collaborated to produce every song, from the track to what it sounded like. I have to say that Between Me and the World, because we were doing it in an experimental way to touch down with like audiences who were listening to like kind of trap or trap music in the US or like different vibes that were more commercial, pop vibes in the US, we're able to study everything that's happening now from Rick Ross, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Sia, Daft Punk, Pharrell Williams, Eminem, you name it. We listen to these vibes and we said to ourselves, yes, we love this vibe, but I can hear Prodigy from Mobb Deep here. I can hear Grinik singing here. I can hear Divine coming on these songs. And we peppered our artists who are collaborating with us inside that process to make Between Me and the album work. It ended up being 10 or 11 songs that to me stand out as singles, each one, instead of being like they're kind of several album cuts, like sometimes people consider songs that are on the album like an album cut versus like one that stands out as a single. Because we made the album this way, most of the songs stand out kind of like as singles or songs that can be pushed in their own kind of campaign.
Hip-hop always was a megaphone to the struggles of the people against the power. Heaven, in the last book of UNET, you have discussed the use of the relationship between music and popular movements. How is the situation, for example, in connection with the movement Black Lives Matter?
Well, you know, hip-hop has always had a connection with the street. I like that UNET has made the revolutionary connection with the sound and the words and who the artists are. But I have to say, when Mike Brown was murdered in Ferguson, near St. Louis, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri, and I went to Ferguson, what was happening on the street and what people were listening to was not like KRS-One and revolutionary black power music. No. Most of the people were listening to, like, you know, like Pop That Pussy, you know, Rick Ross, you know, it was, you know, the music of the street. It was not politically charged, but it was kind of like the vibration of the ghetto youth and the ghetto the black poor people's vibration, which has been informed by music and commercial music that comes on the radio. But nonetheless, these people who were in action, who were ready to take life in their own hands, who were ready to fight against the police at any second, were out there and putting it all on the line and ended up forming Black Lives Matter without the impetus of, like, let's say, so much of this kind of like revolutionary music. So it made me say, I need to listen. I need to listen to the people first. Yes, there were people who were like, oh, this is a perfect moment for Dead Prez, or this is a perfect moment for, you know, Rage Against the Machine, or, you know, Talib Kweli, or whoever else makes progressive music. But to say, that's not the music that people were gravitating towards. It made me say, which has also informed me as to why it's important to make music that the people have a vibration with, whether you are saying a good message or not, which is the reason why I made Between Me and the World, so that we could hear Rick Ross on you know, Elvis Presley Boulevard, and we can turn around and make a song like called Killing It, which we could make subtle charges against the police, talk about empowerment, and feel good at the same time. So, you know, this is what I saw on the front line in Ferguson, in Baltimore, in Oakland, California, in Brooklyn, New York, in Louisiana, and Detroit. These are all places where people are murdered. I can actually name you the people who were murdered in all of these places, you know, and continue to be murdered, you know, by first and last name and family member, you know. And so, but these people are not like, these people are informed by the kind of vibration that's happening in culture that's giving us, like, a reason to move, even though it may not be feeding us the information that we need. So I'm trying to change that.
Okay. And in Rome, but more generally in all your tour in Italy, you are usually play in a social space. Esk, Forte Prenestino, Acrobats is in Rome. Now some of these plays are under attack. What do you think, as activist and also as musician, about the attack that the institution are doing against the free culture?
I think it's something that must stop now. You know, I have been really, really, really informed by what's happening in Italy, by the social centers, by the phenomenon of the social centers, and also in Rome. Some of my comrades, like Militant A, who came up in these places, who introduced me to Forte Prenestino and to, of course, the first one we played in was Acrobats. It's a shame that our people can even think about losing this bastion of power, these great places that give us everything we need. And we have to defend them. We have to defend them by any means necessary. And I know the resilience of the comrades inside these places. So I know there is preparation that if they're attacking us, then we will counterattack, and we have plans to continue to fortify from other places, calling comrades, and I put myself on the front line as one of the people that you can call to fight fist, hand, rock, stone against the police and against the attackers in this system. You know, I tell my friends and I inform my friends in the U.S. about what's happening here, and it's quite inspirational to me because we don't have these organizing spaces at all. You know, not at all. I mean, to talk autonomously, completely about and candidly about what we will do and how far we can go, no. Not without some monitoring from the United States government or some so-called funding or having it be, you know, one of those kind of like ghetto poverty pimp programs where somebody takes the credit for doing something so-called good for the community. It does not exist. Not revolutionary school, not revolutionary after school or homeschool. And I know I'm a parent who is also a participant in this revolutionary process. So what's happening here inside the social centers and especially in Rome is very, very important to restructure what's happening in Europe and then affect what's going on in the United States. So it's important that we keep having it, that we understand the importance of what it means to even like the global aspect. So many Africans who are here, who this example can happen between European and African and how we can exhibit strength and fortify and support you know, the backward so-called immigration policies that have been happening through Germany, that are happening through the rest of the world and in the UK and France, and that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton plan to bring inside the United States. And so in order to not, you know, allow the spread of the bullshit of, you know, of imperialism, of, you know, fascism inside the rest of the world, then we have to have to protect what's happening right here on the ground.
Okay, last question. As a radio, every year we have to pay some fees. CIA, SCF, and soon perhaps also Sondriff. The situation in this country is a kind of monopoly that fights to protect artists and kills the small media. This is why we are carrying out a battle on some team as Copyleft and Creative Commons. What do you think on copyright and the sharing of their works? Your first album, My P2P, was in free download, for example. What do you think about this?
I think it's very important. You say, I like the idea you say copyleft versus copyright. I don't know anything about the program, but I know by the name, copyleft, what it means to be left politically minded and what it also would mean as a stance against the typical copyright programs and what it means. In its inception and from what it's supposed to mean, to copyright was supposed to mean it protects the person who owns and copy the product. But for many years, I have to say that has been a limitation for an artist to have a copyright because, let's say, our first album, Let's Get Free, even though copyrighted, is not benefited from and exploited by Dead Prez. It's owned by Sony, and so. For me, many, many years after a so-called copyright, I feel like the ownership should revert back to the artist, even if any kind of agreement that we made, because anything other than that is oppressive. It should go away with the times of, you know, slavery, which is what it is, and age-old business techniques that went down with the exploitation of early artists, jazz artists, funk artists, blues artists, and pop or early pop artists, people like James Brown and Ray Charles, who can talk specifically about how oppressive those agreements are. So I think at the end of the day, I would love to study these programs that you're talking about, and I know that coming out of this type of mind state, it would benefit the artists to be able to pivot and use our work as freely as we need. You know, there's a huge battle going on the internet, where even the intellectual property, the content ownership of content has become the war and the freedom of that content. So we have to, in its earliest stages, define what it means. And to be able to let the people we want to hear it for free hear it is very important. You know, that's what Napster was in its earliest days. Yeah. And it also means that we have the ability to charge or limit people who we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested in these programs and I support, obviously. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay.
For sure. You think it's good? You got what you need?